We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Are you a broken vessel, weighted down with discouragement, illness, or perhaps a disability? Well, take heart. Whatever your burden may be, God offers treasures that will transform your life. Hello, dear listeners. You're listening to Broken Vessels, Hidden Treasures. And here are your hosts, Paul and Tabitha Norris.
Todd Wilson, in his book More, wrote, "God the Creator has uniquely designed each of us to function in ways that bring purpose and significance. God equips us with a unique calling to play a specific role in accomplishing His mission on earth as we make disciples." One of the things we love about our podcast is, as we sit down to interview brothers and sisters in Christ about their ministries, we feel we're getting a front row seat to what the Lord is doing around the country and around the globe. This turns into an opportunity for us to rejoice and also to be challenged to serve Him wholeheartedly.
Today, we're honored to be joined by the ministry director of The Source, a nonprofit residential program for teens in need of restoration, guidance, and love in Spokane, Washington. Her name is Naftali Morden. Naftali, welcome to Broken Vessels, Hidden Treasures.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell us about The Source. How was it founded and why does it exist?
Yeah, so our founder, Chris Knowlton, he grew up kind of on the wrong side of the law, we'll say. He got into quite a lot of trouble as a teen himself, and then discovered God's love and was completely transformed. And so he started working with youth in his 20s and really just had a heart to bring that transformative love and care to kids who were in a similar situation that he was in. In 2011, he started The Source, and it originally was like a way to connect with kids who were coming through juvenile corrections and had community service time. And so he would help them like do mowing lawns or make the connections to serve the community service. And he just found that's what he loved. Mm-hmm. And so what he came to realize, though, as he got to know these kids and hear more and more about their story, is so many of them had really dysfunctional home environments or had been removed from the homes and just really lacked guidance as well as any kind of stable home environment. And so that's when he realized he wanted to start residential care homes specifically for kids who coming through foster care and have behavioral struggles such that a traditional foster home setting wasn't able to handle some of the things. And so in 2015, he started the first Source Spokane Youth Home. And then since then, we've expanded. We have 4 homes in the Spokane area, 5 different programs that include the behavioral rehabilitation services as well as developmental disability administration. And so we have both of those things going. We have 12 kids right now in our programs that we're caring for full-time, 24/7. And also do respite care for some of the kids with disabilities.
Wow. So are you only located in Spokane?
We have a couple of different branches of ministry that we've been able to start. One being in Malawi, Africa. We have, it's called the Source Malawi over there. Wow. And so we have, we've been working with orphan care and feeding programs and drilling wells over there and have just bought land and are building a couple of orphan homes, kind of family style homes. So families are bringing in orphans, similar almost to like what you would see at foster care here.
Okay.
And we're branching out a little bit further, but that's still to be announced.
All right. Well, that's exciting. Well, for those of us who maybe aren't familiar with residential home life, can you paint a picture for us? What would a typical day look like for kids who live in homes like that?
Yeah, it is a more sobering part of society to recognize that we have kids who, with no fault of their own, had to be removed from their homes. Mm-hmm. Due to dangerous situations. And so that's a kind of grief and loss many of us can't imagine. And they aren't necessarily given space to feel all of that or to express it or have the emotional maturity to even know what they're feeling and why. And then you have these kids who many times have already experienced quite a lot of trauma, and that shows up in different behaviors, and then they're moved from place to place to place to place. And so by the time they come in to our, particularly the behavioral side of the work that we do, you know, they've been through a lot. And so we're trying to help instill a sense of personal value, because sometimes even the effects on development, kids can just start to have a really negative sense of who they are in society. And so we're trying to instill a sense of identity and belonging, of hope that the future can look different than the past has looked, and that intrinsic value. It doesn't matter what has happened up till now, you matter. You are valuable. And so we have some of our kids go to school full time. Some of them are on individual learning plans. We have staff that are mentoring them and helping them with daily things like, you know, they have chores they need to get done. Mm-hmm. They have personal goals, different things that are very individualized for their needs and the challenges that they're trying to overcome, different life skills we're teaching them. And then we also do a lot of, you know, just the typical family things of meal prep and going on outings. Some of our kids are on a one-to-one contract, so they have a staff that's very focused on them and mentoring them and guiding them and helping them learn impulse control and what does healthy communication look like. What do you do when you're getting really, really upset and overwhelmed? Like, what do you do with those emotions? How do you cope and not go into destructive patterns? And so, yeah, we have programming that includes outings, art activities, movies. Summertime, we get to take them on like day camps and mentorship programs. And we also just hired a mentorship director, a really great guy named Brad Knott, and he's developing a way to work with them individually and kind of help focus on that character development and the spiritual needs that the kids have, as well as the emotional and physical and all of that.
I think all of us like to have a sense of purpose in life, especially we as believers. We want to feel fulfilled in ministry and to know that what we're doing for the Lord counts.
Mm-hmm.
For those with developmental delays or physical disabilities, any kind of disabilities, maybe that'd be more difficult. I think your River Bluff home,
yes,
is for those with developmental delays.
Yes.
And maybe we could take a minute or two to talk about that. A question along those lines. We had a time in American history, and it wasn't too long ago, when people with developmental delays or behavioral issues were placed in institutions and they were separated from society, and it was a very sad time in history. Are there steps that your staff takes, especially for these children, to help them feel a sense of purpose and value, and to help them realize that they too have value and that they can and should be a part of their community, a part of their church?
Yeah, absolutely. We started the DDA home in River Bluff, again, partly out of this sense of there is a great need here. And a lot of the kids that we've had in the BRS side also had different developmental disabilities. And a couple of our kids especially, we recognize that once they age out of like foster kid, they're going to be put in probably a setting where they're going to need some care. And so we're like, what can we do to get to keep our kids, right? We want to, once they're no longer children, they're adults now, but they still need care. Our heart is to be that for them. And so we've been on this process of opening that up further. And our staff at the River Bluff home have a kind of compassion that just touches my heart. It's just so beautiful to see. Our clinical director, Kathy Hager, she has such a heart for these kids that come in. And one of the things that's really important to her is that we help them recognize their strengths, the skills they have, that some of these differences aren't just deficits. But when a person has different disabilities that they have to overcome, they're actually gaining a whole skill set that another person may not have. And so whether it be neurodevelopmental disabilities or physical disabilities, recognizing like, no, they have something powerful that they have gained through this challenge, and we want to recognize that and help them recognize that. So that's been really important to us, as well as teaching as many independent living skills as we can, integrating them in the community at school, church, community events, recreational activities, restaurants, movies, you know, all of the ways that they can be a part of the community and society, and recognize that they have so much to offer, and we want to really call that out.
That's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
There can be times when our excitement about serving foster youth or individuals impacted by disabilities might be tempered by the reality of brokenness that surrounds the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
How has your call to serve at the source been reaffirmed by the faithfulness and sovereignty of God, even on the tough days?
That's a really great question. I kind of can I answer it in like two ways, because I have the personal answer, but also one of the roles that I get to play in our organization, I do a lot of training, and I help with training our staff when they're first coming in and orientation, and then I do a lot of culture training with our management. And one of the things that is a reality is, yeah, we do get tired, and sometimes it seems like we see so many negative things, and we start to feel that, like, am I making a difference? And that's one of the things that we really have to say. Our foundational beliefs matter so much, and those values, like, we have to believe that we are making a difference. And so I really believe you have to get good at not just paying attention to the dirt, but seeing the gold, finding that. Mm-hmm. And so I use this term, micro-measuring success. Like, how can we gain that skill? And it has to do with, you know, practicing gratitude and like, okay, Lord, show me the things that I'm not seeing, because I believe that you have me here for a reason and a purpose. And even though sometimes these circumstances are extremely challenging and can be very discouraging, I still have to be making a difference. So show me how. And in that, when we shift our perspective to understand the kinds of challenges that these kids have gone through, that raises our sense of compassion. But also, I think bottom line, like, we have situations where no matter what we do, we maybe don't get to see the changes we'd like to see, the outcomes we're hoping for, right? That's just a reality. And so for me, I really encourage this sense of, okay, if you take a child whose life has been really dark, and then they have this stage of life with us, and then maybe the circumstances, you know, worst case scenario, on the other side of this time with us, it's really dark again. Is it not worth it that they had that season with us where they were truly cared for and protected? Like, shouldn't that be enough to motivate us to say, no matter what the ultimate outcome is of this person's life and the choices that they make or the direction it goes, yes, it is worth it for us that they should have an experience of being truly loved and truly cared for and protected. And so really trying to model that unconditional love of Jesus, right? His love crossed all the cultural barriers of his time. He was like, he would go to the darkest places and be with the people that maybe others would not want to be around, right? And he was right there. And so for us, being faith-based with roots in Christianity, that's really our calling. It's like, we want to show love, full stop. And so that's something that I think is really constantly emphasized, and you know, being good at seeing the little tiny steps of progress, that micro measuring. And then personally, because I work primarily with our staff, I just really consider it to be a privilege that I get to hear people's stories, that they will trust me with the things that are challenging for them, the things that are stressing them out, to be able to hear what people are saying and show them that they matter, that they're being listened to, and validate them is such an honor and privilege for me. And then also recognizing, you know, the Lord gives us choice, and He is loving and guiding and protecting, and yet we still have the power to choose. And so in that way, like, I'm going to offer encouragement and hopefully a little perspective shift that might help things feel a little, oh, okay, this isn't so bad, you know, but ultimately understanding that each individual can choose what they want to do, how they want to proceed. And similar, I just want to make sure, like I said, about when a kid is in our home for, you know, that stage, that they felt safe, that they felt loved. And for me to have the privilege of meeting all sorts of different people where they're at, and hopefully when they've been in my presence, they have felt important, they have felt cared for and listened to. And hopefully I can ask a few questions that, you know, give them moments of revelation that's personal, that helps them see the choices in front of them.
Yeah. Well, not all of us are going to be led to work in group homes, and not everyone is going to be called to foster. But Jesus does ask every believer to love one another. Are there practical ways, since we've been talking along the lines of foster care, are there practical ways that we can begin to encourage the foster families in our churches today?
I think so. Again, it takes a lot of humility. It can be very convicting, but we need to realize that we, even in the church, often aren't accessible in ways that we'd like to think we are. Mm-hmm. And I, back in March, I went to a conference and I was listening to a mother of three sons she had adopted that have Down syndrome. And she was talking about the challenges in church, because not everyone understands that her kids may not model the kind of church behavior that people are used to, right? Okay. When it's time to be quiet, that might not necessarily happen. And as she was sharing, I just was very convicted about the ways that we often, as human beings, we can tend to just avoid people who are different from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not healthy. It's not beneficial. We're not honoring others or ourselves, because we're not giving ourselves a chance to grow, you know. Stepping into places that are maybe slightly uncomfortable actually helps us to grow versus being stuck in the rut of our own comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And when I think about families that are fostering and the different challenges that they're facing, like even simple things of, are we inviting them to play dates? Are we inviting them to dinner? Do they feel a sense of identity and belonging when they're in our presence? Or do they feel like, oh, we're the outsiders that nobody really knows what to do with? And so I think in simple ways, just reaching out and being that listening ear and asking, hey, is there anything I can do? Would it be helpful if I brought over a meal? Or do you want to meet at a park and we'll do a play date? Or, you know, those kinds of very simple things. Again, we all want that sense of community and belonging, and we can be inclusive if we will consider those things, right? We have to actually think about it. And then I think also other ways we can show support, we can educate ourselves just to understand, like, what's going on out there. I know since working with the Source Spokane, my perspective has just gone through a whole renovation, really. Mm-hmm. So many things that go on right next door that I haven't been aware of. And so educating yourself, like you said, adopt if you can adopt. I saw this great sign, adopt if you can adopt, foster if you can't adopt, if you can't foster, sponsor, if you can't sponsor, volunteer, if you can't volunteer, donate, and if you can't donate, educate. I was like, okay, there's something for all of us. Get involved somehow, whether it be through donation, through volunteering, or like you said, some people with the calling of, I'm going to go into these dark places and I'm going to be a safe space for this kid and hopefully help lead them into the light.
Mm-hmm. Naftali, in talking with you, we can see that you radiate the joy of the Lord. Your life shows us that ministry is a privilege for believers. We can find the most fulfillment in life when we're giving to Christ and others. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in today to Broken Vessels, Hidden Treasures. It is our hope and prayer that you will find the grace and goodness of God even in trials. We'd love to hear from you, and your feedback is important to us. You can reach out to Paul and Tabitha with comments, questions, or to share an episode with a friend in need through our website at bvhtministries.org.